I have long taken interest in the common denominators, the experiences that the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, respectively, each experience. In other words, how many things happened to all of them? And specifically, how many things did God address with each of them? How many things did God speak to them individually about that are that they, you know, that he addressed with each of them? Okay, a topic of interest. Take a look, think about that. What struck me this week was that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all had a nearly identical experience, and that is they were all taken advantage of. They were taken advantage of by difficult, dishonest, aggressive, and even abusive people. All three of them, they encounter abusive, diabolical personalities. How do they react? How do they respond? And what's the end game? What's the long run? How do they engage and think about their futures with them? Listen carefully. Avram Avinu is accosted by a whole set of difficult people. One of them is a man named Avimelech, who it kidnaps his wife, tries to, you know, is interested in taking her as his own. He argues with him. He, you know, he's they're accusative, argumentative. He threatens him. You know, he says, like, "You're taking my stuff." His people get into fights, right? His people get into fights with Avram Avinu's people, and he's a difficult, dishonest character. All right, turn a page in Parshas Vayera, and every single time I read it, I laugh out loud and I just shake my head with disgust and disdain at the despicable Avimelech, who turns to Avram and says nothing less than, "Hey, you know, I've been so good to you. I've been so nice to you. I mean, I've always been, you know, I was taking care of you. I've always do me a favor. You know, how about let's make peace? Let's make peace. You know, what do you say? What do you say, Avram?" And it's amazing to me every single time he talks, and it's like this air of self-righteousness, and he literally he acts like a maniac, and then he pretends to be entirely innocent and you know, above board and a civilized person, and he quote unquote invites Abraham to make peace with him and swear to me that you won't hurt me, or that, you know, and I'll make peace with you, and you swear to me that you respect me. It shocks me. And guess what? If you were, if this was you, what would you do? What would you do? You know what Avram does? He bows low. He swallows his tongue. He swallows his pride. He says, "Oh, you want to make peace? Okay, you know what? Hey, let's make peace." And he gives him gifts, and he swears to him and makes a treaty. Yitzchak in this expression does the same thing. Again, same dude, Avimelech. Same wife stealing, right? Same stealing of all of his money, of his well after at fight after fight, you know, all the same story. He is abusive and conniving and dishonest and accusative. And then, ding, turn the page, and he says, "Hey, you know what? Hey, you want to make peace? You know, maybe I, you know, hey, how about I make peace? What do you mean I make peace? It's like, I, Avimelech, I'm a sicko who's a villain and aggressive, right? And yeah, I'm showing up and I'm saying, oh, you know what? Maybe you can make peace with me. You know, you should not hurt me. You should not do anything to me. Just like I've been so nice to you, you should be nice to me." It's like laughable. What would you do if someone treated you that way? You know what Yitzchak says? He says, "Oh, peace? Oh, yeah, okay, you know what? Let's make peace." Entirely, you know, just putting aside his any ego. Next week's parsha, Yaakov has a jerk of a father-in-law, a swindler, a cheat, a crook, aggressive, abusive. Abusive is an understatement. And look at the way he read the story. Look at the way he treats him. Look at the way he takes advantage of him. Look at the way he puts him down. Look at the way he lies and steals in the worst of ways. And then at the end of the parsha, he says, you know what? You know what? Hey, you know, how about we make peace? You know, you promised me you won't hurt me, you won't hurt my daughters. You brother, here, you know, let's go. Let's make an agreement. You know that you know you won't hurt me, I won't hurt you. We'll make us a monument together. We'll agree. We'll have a peace treaty. Like, again, sick. It's so condescending. What a disgusting offer. That's the way you talk to me. And what does Yaakov do? He says, you know, okay, I'll make peace. And I want to think for a moment, what's that about? How does that work? What's that about? Why would someone do that? And we see a tremendous, perhaps, lesson in value of harmony, the value of being able to get along as a civilization, as a society, the value, the importance, the paramount, you know, supreme significance. And if we could just get along, and you know, pretend like we like each other, that then you can live your life, and I can live my life, and it'll work out. So Avraham Avinu, it says, this is not about my ego. And Yitzchak and Yaakov, it's not about my ego. This is about, you know, the survival of families, the survival of civilization, the survival. And you know what? We'll take it. It is a very delicate and fine line here, but we'll be, I'm using my words carefully, we'll be emotionally abused. We'll be financially abused. I use those words advisedly. We'll be emotionally abused and financially abused. And you know what? It's okay, whatever. I'm an idiot. He's an idiot. You know, he's a cheat. And in his heart, he knows he's a cheat. Everyone really knows he's a cheat. But whatever. I'll pretend. I'll come to the bargaining table. I'll sign a peace treaty. Fine. Now you'll say, are Avram, so the Avos, the Jewish giants, the Jewish forefathers, they're a bunch of losers, as they say in Hebrew. They're friars. Is that so? Take a look. Turn the page, and you find that someone kidnaps and steals and kills Avram's family, and it's killing cities, right, and kingdoms. Avram Avinu is swings to the opposite end of the pendulum, and he rises like a lion. He's like a lion, like a beast. He slaughters. That's Avraham Avinu, the greatest, sweetest, nicest guy. He slaughters them. He chases them down and crushes them and kills them. He says, look at Yaakov in next week's parsha, and actually in 2 weeks parsha. What happens? He hears his brothers coming to kill him. He gets up. He arms himself. He runs straight for his face. Right? I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll crush you. Come here, you know, I'm coming for you. You're coming for me, I'm coming for you, Esav. Isn't that a contrast? How do you understand that? I thought this is like this Mr. Nice Guy. He's willing to make the peace. Oh, you better believe it. You abuse me emotionally, I'll make peace with you. It's okay. You abuse me financially, I'll make peace with you. You're coming to kill me and my family? I will crush you. I will crush you. Because I can put my ego aside. That's a value. Peace is a value. But to get slaughtered, peace, that's not a value. The value is to live. That's a value. If we can have peace and live, peace is a value. If we can have, the only way we can have peace is by getting slaughtered, Life is a value. Peace is not a value. There is no peace if you're dead. So this is a lesson and a lesson about priorities, such a nuanced, delicate lesson about politics and relationships and difficult people and difficult situations. And we are the great lovers of peace, lovers of family, lovers of getting along, and we'll sacrifice everything, almost everything, right? Almost everything in order to achieve that. We'll give everything away in order to achieve that. But at a certain point, you're not being a tzaddik. To give your life away, then you lost the game. There is no more relationship. there is no value. There's no peace. There's no world. There's no world left. This is one thought. I want to just share one different strain here, and that is a colleague and friend and mentor and rabbi of mine named Rabbi Moshe Leader at Eshet Torah showed a different distinction and a contrast here that between the Avos and David HaMelech. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are all, you know, like I said, like they bow their heads, they're kind of like these nice tatalach, you know. They are tatis, actually. But they're these nice, like, you know, sweet, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm sure we'll make, they give up everything and they make peace. And yet, take a look at David HaMelech. David, would he do that? You know, you were like, you would just take it, be emotionally abused and take all that stuff. He's a lion. He's a lion. He's the sweetest lion. He's the sweetest, nicest, holiest, most spiritual guy. But, you know, he'll get up and fight. He'll fight and fight. You don't insult me. Don't do anything. You'll mess with me. Why the distinction between the Avos and David HaMelech? This is an impromptu conversation I had with Rabbi Leader, and he suggested the following distinction: the Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are all of those stories take place in Gullus. Avram is a Gullus Jew, right? Subject to the land of Grar and Avimelech. Yitzchak, same story, subject to Avimelech, and Yaakov Avinu, same story. He's running. He's in Gullus. He does not have his own dominion. He does not have his own authority, you know, ownership. So when you're around the Goyim, you know what? Bow your head, bow low, give in, give up. You know, just do everything you can, just to make it. David HaMelech was in the sovereign, state of land of Israel, which he conquered, right? And which was conquered already. This is our country? You mess with me in my country? You mess with us, the Jewish people? I'm coming for you. I'm no ifs, ands, or buts. No, you know, like, oh yeah, we're sorry. Oh yeah, we hurt you. Yeah, we'll sign this, like, you know, forced confession, you know, false confession. Oh yes, for sure, we did this to you. Yeah, we're sorry. Okay, we're not going to do it again. Avram says it. Yitzhak says it. Yaakov says it. David says, get out of my face. I'll destroy you. And he does. Right? A Jew stands, once a Jew is in the land of Israel, he's stand proud. This might perhaps be relevant this very moment. The Jews in Chutz Laretz and around the world have other authorities and other governments to whose egos they need to stroke, who they need to respect. They're reliant on their goodwill and kindness and acceptance. Someone who's in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel, with the Jewish government, how dare the Jewish government bow to other authorities, other governments, and say yes, sir, or, you know, other threats or other enemies, and say okay, yeah, whatever, okay, no. You take one step near me, I'll bust you, I'll kill you. Right? That's the way of David HaMelech, and perhaps that's the distinction, and that's a lesson for all of us to learn and know.